How many of you will be off tomorrow? Okay. How many of you retired and didn't plan to go tomorrow anyway? Yeah. Amen. Amen. We're striving toward that day. We're striving toward that day. If you've got your Bible this morning, I want you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Solomon asks us, What profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? Labor Day is a federal holiday observed on the first Monday in September. The holiday originated in 1882 as the Central Labor Union of New York City sought to create a day off for the working citizens. Congress made Labor Day a federal holiday in 1894 for all federal workers, and today all 50 states have made Labor Day a state holiday. Traditionally, Labor Day is celebrated by most Americans as the symbolic end of the summer. And so the cry from the Central Labor Union was, "We want a day off," and they got it, didn't they? The unions have a way of many times getting what they want. We've been laboring too long. That's their cry. And for some people, this is very true. Some people would work themselves to death going from one job to a part-time job and then to another job. I know a man personally that works from 5 in the morning until 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. in the evening, 5 days a week. He goes from a full-time job to his own little business of grass cutting during the afternoon to move on to a part-time job beginning in the evening from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. He's pretty busy, isn't he? His wife left him, and he has no children. He said to me the other day, he says, "Jim, I work too much," and that's true. But what's he laboring for? He told me, he says, "I make a lot of money, but I don't have time to spend it. And when I'm home on Saturdays," he says, I try to catch up on my sleep." Many people live laborious lives like that today. And he's looking for the day when he can retire, but this is the life, but I don't think that this is the life Christ wants for him. And the question is, what is he laboring for? You know, what are we laboring for today? What are we laboring for these days? One of the wisest men in the history of the world had it all and still couldn't find peace and happiness with the things of this world. And the book of Ecclesiastes is a dreary yet dramatic autobiography of King Solomon's life. Solomon was the third king of Israel and the son of the great king David, and his mother was the beautiful Bathsheba. And when David was dying, he charged Solomon, his son. He said this, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 2, I want to read you what King David told his son. 1 Kings chapter 2, I'm just going to read verses 2 and 3, so you won't necessarily need to turn there. Let me just share with you from verse 2. David says, "I go the way of all the earth." So he tells Solomon, his son, he says, "Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." That's good advice for children, isn't it? That's good advice for a mother and a father to share with their children. King David wanted his son to prosper. And every one of us with children or grandchildren or even great-grandchildren want our children to prosper in life. David was no different. He gave his son the best advice any father can give a son or a daughter. Keep close to the Lord, follow his ways and his instructions, and Solomon stepped right out to follow his dad's advice. God appears to Solomon in a dream in 1 Kings chapter 3, and God says, "Ask what I shall give thee." "Ask what I shall give thee, Solomon." And Solomon's response was, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Behold, I have done according to thy works, God says. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Do you notice that God is looking from behind and also to the future of all creation? He's saying, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked. What was it that Solomon didn't ask for? That's right, he didn't ask for the material blessings of the world, did he? He asked for God to give him an understanding heart. Every one of us needs an understanding heart. And listen, we can open our scriptures and we can be reading the Holy Scriptures. And it's just words, my friends. It's just words until you ask God to open up your heart and reveal to you the message that he has there. Don't just open your Bible and just begin to read words. Consume, absorb what is there. It's precious and it's a blessing to everyone. And so God says, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. But King Solomon didn't keep the statutes of the Lord. He accumulated to himself more horses than a man could ever use, more gold than a man could ever spend, and married more women than a man could ever please. And all of this turned his heart from following after the Lord. And because of this, God tore the kingdom, not from Solomon's hands, but from the hands of his own son, from his son's hands, Rehoboam, and divided the nation of Israel into two parts. Solomon had it all, but he threw it all away. And the epitaph of his fall is found in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Let me read that for you. It says, But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, You shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon, the Bible says, clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princes and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. And in verse 6 it says, And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. And so it was horses, it was gold, it was women. All of these became more important to Solomon than a close and abiding daily walk with the Lord. And all of these things turned Solomon's heart away from God. And my goodness, Satan has introduced us to all kinds of things today to draw us away from serving the Lord on a daily basis or walking with the Lord on a daily basis. It's interesting that the only truth Solomon attained to out of all of his wisdom was the complete vanity or the uselessness and the futility of trying to find happiness and contentment in this world without God. And this he shares with us in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, as we have this opportunity to share in your word, we thank you for each one that's come this way, Father. For those that are traveling on this Labor Day weekend, we pray for them, Father, ask you to give them traveling mercies. We just pray that, Father, that next Sunday they will be back in their place safely, Father, in your house. Lord, we pray for all of those that are spending this weekend in the hospital. Lord, we think of Aubrey and of J.E. And Lord, we think of Philip, who will be going to the hospital for surgery in the coming days, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon him as well. And Lord, this morning, all of our senior citizens, many of them hurting from just the aches and pains of aging, Lord, we lift them up to you right now, and we ask you to minister to them, bless them, comfort them, Father, and give them peace as we all together, Father, wait upon your coming. Now, Father, bless your word, bless your servant, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we are undeserving as all to be in this place, Father, and so we rely upon the presence of the Holy Spirit. We rely upon the moving of the Holy Spirit to minister to my heart, Father, that I in turn might share what's laid upon my heart with your people. Father, bless this morning in Jesus' name. We ask these things. Amen. And amen. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it says, the words of the preacher, and Ecclesiastes means preacher, by the way, the son of David, so in the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all of his labor which he taketh under the sun? Now Solomon is talking about trying to get ahead in this world without God, trying to get ahead in this world without having a daily walk or without looking to the blessings that come from God, trying to get ahead in this world by accumulating things. Work, 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 work to get those dollar bills that are going to give you everything that you want to bring happiness and satisfaction and contentment in this world. And my friends, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. The greatest contentment you can have in this world is a close walk and a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That brings tremendous contentment. Here Solomon is talking about man, his labor, and his profit under the sun. That means not spiritually, but just trying to labor, trying to get ahead in the world. Man trying to get ahead in this world without God, and he calls it all vanity of vanities. All is vanity, he says. Verse 4, he says, one generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Do you see that? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also arises and the sun goeth down and hastens to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returns again according to its circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, hither, thither, they return again. The earth, Solomon is saying, is indicating that the earth has a stability that man doesn't have. The earth and the earth's program has a stability that man doesn't have. Everything in nature continues century after century, but man is here only for a short time, and then he vanishes away. As we shared last Sunday, we shared from James chapter 4, verse 14, for what is your life, James says, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And that's what Solomon is saying here. And so Solomon asks the question, what is the point of life? One day follows another. Time continues on. The universe keeps its appointments, but man's life and his labor is all vanity. Dr. Arthur Pearson writes this interesting point about what Solomon just shared with the readers. It says, it is certainly a curious fact that Solomon should use language entirely consistent with later discoveries such as evaporation and storm currents. Who taught Solomon to use terms that readily accommodate facts that the movement of the winds are ruled by the laws as positive as those which rule the growth of the plant? And that by evaporation, the waters that fall on the earth are continually rising again so that the sea never overflows. Is it not remarkable that the language he uses exactly suits the facts? Where did he get that information? Well, he got it the same place Moses got all of his information about as he wrote in the first five books of the Bible. God gave him that information. God gave him that wisdom. God gave him that understanding. God had given Solomon great wisdom and understanding about many things, and yet the poor application of this wisdom and understanding, instead of bringing him happiness and fullness and joy, brought only loneliness and depression and despair. And he cries out, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Well, if he'd have stayed on the right track, if he'd have stayed close to his Creator, if he'd have walked with him on a daily basis, Solomon wouldn't have the attitude he has about life in general. And by the way, Solomon is writing this not to create depression and anxiety in your life and to give you the indication that there's no hope in the world. What Solomon is trying to do here is trying to encourage you that every day of your life ought to be a day dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be a day that's committed to the Lord Jesus. That's where you're going to find happiness. That's where you're going to find contentment. Verse 8 through 11, Solomon records the repetition of human endeavor. Verse 8, he says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Our eyes and our ears are always drinking in new things. Today, the television set provides us the leisure of visiting the whole of the world without leaving the comforts of our own home. And we waste so much of our time before the television set, anxious to see and to hear the latest news. Verse 9, Solomon says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." What? You know, people will say, wait a minute. I don't remember space travel. I don't remember airplanes back in Solomon. I don't remember ever reading about those things in Solomon's time. Verse 10, Solomon reiterates, "Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us." You know, and you think about air travel. Was air travel in Solomon's day? Anybody in Solomon's day ever walked on the moon? Well, listen to this. "There are places in this world where signs and symbols were carved into the earth thousands of years ago, and yet they can only be seen from how? From the air. From the air. These curvatures in the earth make no sense to the person who's standing on the earth. You have to get up some thousand feet in the air before you can even make out what that symbol is. So where did that come from? You know, Solomon may know more about the past history than we give him credit for. J. Vernon McGee writes that the environment may change. This is what Solomon's talking about. The environment may change and there may be new gadgets around, but there is really nothing new under the sun. Man stays the same. Only the stage setting may vary a bit from age to age. The hungry nature of man yesterday is the same hungry nature of man today. To eat, to drink, and to be merry, to satisfy to the fullest the ever-searching heart. And when the whole of the life is over, what is left behind to remember?" What is left behind to remember? Many people live their whole lives just to leave behind some kind of an epitaph. But you know how long people remember that epitaph? Not very long. Not very long, because people press on to get on with life themselves. They may honor these people who have come along in the past, but as far as spending much time there, they don't do that. Verse 11, Solomon says, "There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after." Matthew Henry writes, "How many former things and persons were there which in their day looked very great and made a mighty figure, and yet there is no remembrance of them. They are buried in oblivion." Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4 says, "Man is like unto vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away." And so in comparison to the stability of the universe, man is unstable, Solomon says. His life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. In verses 12 through 15, Solomon shows us the futility of human achievement. You know, all of us are striving for I would hope that you want to achieve something in your life. You want to achieve something in your life, and you push anybody aside to get, many people push anybody aside to achieve that goal. But boy, after you've pushed everybody aside and you've achieved that goal and you die, who are you going to answer to? Who are you going to answer to? That's right, the Lord. Verse 12 says, Solomon says, "I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit." Just about the whole of the book of Ecclesiastes is a testimony of what Solomon has done, the research that Solomon has done trying to find happiness in this world. You might want to read it sometime, but when you're reading it, remember that he's talking about living in this world separate from the Lord, or without any attitude or that you would need the Lord to find happiness and contentment in this world. He says, "I gave my heart," verse 17, "to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases what? Sorrow. Sorrow. It is true. The more you know, the more you worry about. The more you know, the more you can be worried about. Solomon says, "Man cannot understand it all." Solomon was the wisest of all men, and yet when he tried to understand the meaning of life, he was baffled. And yet he found the clearest answer to his baffling question. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14, after all of his study, after all of his research, if you'll turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14, you'll find the result of his study. Let us hear, Solomon says, the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Can I read that again? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What was the name of the tree that Eve took the first bite out of? She took that fruit and she partook of that fruit. What was the name of that tree? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was going to bring about, the devil told her a lie. He said, you're going to be like God. You're going to become so knowledgeable. And yet it didn't bring knowledge. Well, it brought a lot of knowledge, but with it brought a lot of sorrow as well. What is my purpose in life today? Why are we laboring today? What is your labor all about? Well, I can tell you this. If you're laboring without any appreciation for God in your life, you're laboring for the wind. The Bible says that. You are laboring for the wind. Revelation 4:11 tells us, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And so you and I are created to bring what? Honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our daily. That ought to be our daily goal every day. In our work, in our play, in our home, wherever we're at, our goal ought to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can promise you this, if you have the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, every part of your work, every part of your play, every part of your home life ought to be likewise a peaceful and an enjoyable place to live out your life. I love it when my grandkids come. It's a tremendous blessing to me. It's grand when they come. It's grand when they go. That's the reason they call them grandchildren. But Strick and Marilyn were telling me this morning. Said we've had our two grandsons the last couple of days, and what a delight. They said what a delight it is. I mean, it's wonderful to know that you can enjoy life and not worry about striving to get to the top of that ladder, for which many people who finally reach the top of the ladder of life and they think they're successful end up finding that it's an empty top. There's no satisfaction there. Many people who are rich with material goods, money, and so forth end up committing suicide because it's empty there. Matthew 5:16, the Lord says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You want to talk about a labor that brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus? Listen, He says, Let your light so shine before men. You have a light. I have a light. And we ought to let it shine before men that they may see our good works or our good labor and bring honor and glory to who? God. God. You want to talk about labor. God wants us to live abundant lives in this world. But the only way that the human heart will ever find purpose and meaning in this world is when it finds peace and rest in the Lordship of Christ. Augustine wrote about it. He said, Thou hast made us for Thyself, O Lord, and restless are our souls till we rest in Thee. I remember my whole life from a child. I can remember the pursuing of the Lord after my life. I can remember that. I was always under the burden that someday I was going to have to meet this Creator. Someday I was going to have to meet this God that this Bible talks about. And at age 27, finally, I quit running and I gave up. And I said, God, take my life. Do with it whatever you will. I failed Him many times. So have you. Failed Him many times. But I'm so thankful that He forgives me. He picks me up. He dusts me off. He puts me right back on that road to glory. But listen, as He puts us back on the road, as he brightens up our light again, our labor and our work each and every day in our home, in our community, ought to be to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a rest that we're heading for, an eternal rest. What we need while we're in this world is a little peace and a little quiet. And nobody can give that to us better than the Lord Jesus. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You know, the greatest blessing to any Christian when he goes home to be with the Lord is that acknowledgement from the Lord. And we share it many times, and I hear Brother Bunk share it many times. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now, let me tell you something. Some of us think that when we get home to heaven, work's going to be over. Work's going to be over. But listen, "I will make thee ruler over many things." Does that sound like your work's going to be over? Well, I'll tell you, this is going to be a work that you're going to be excited about doing. It's not going to be any drudgery, not going to be any giving out, not going to be any broken legs or sick hearts or anything else like that. We're going to have that spirit and that strength of the eagle as he lifts up off the mountain and sweeps across the meadow. That's what I'm looking for one of these days by and by. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Our labor today, there's a physical labor in the world, but there's a labor for the Lord Jesus Christ too. And we can do both at the same time. While we're laboring for our employer or whoever it might be, whatever we're doing, we can also be laboring for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the sunlight that you're sending down. Father, we realize that we're only passing through. Our life is a vapor. Somehow we think, many folks, Father, working in this world, think they're going to live forever, thinking somehow that they're going to create this utopian paradise, Father, where they'll never have to work again and they'll just live forever and ever in this kingdom that they've created for themselves. And Father, I ask you this morning, if there's one here that has that attitude, help them, Father, to realize that that is a waste of time. There is no utopian paradise here on this earth, Father, never will be until you come and you set up your kingdom. Father, help us to strive toward that kingdom. Help us to work, Father, and labor to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. For that is the goal. That was your goal as you came into this world, to lift up your Father. And to as you heard your Father speak to you, Father, thus you in turn spoke to others. Help us, Father, as we hear your words and as we understand your word and hear your voice, that we too will be obedient and that our labor might be pleasing to thee. Father, bless your people this morning. Give them a good day off, Father. Give them a good Labor Day holiday, Father. And help them to remember, Lord, that day is a blessing each and every day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.